What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap. Hand off to Cook. Through a hole on the left side. Squirts away and reaches for the end zone, and he is in. James Cook with a 5-yard touchdown run as the Cook is in the kitchen.
High driven ball.
He gets it at the 14 and he is blistered by Mac Hollins. Oh my goodness. That's a wallet phone keys hit because Marvin Mims is looking for all three of them.
Allen rolling out to his right, looking for somebody open. Nobody is. Has to throw it to the end zone for Ty Johnson, who makes a sliding catch in the end zone for a touchdown. Allen back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33. Cuts it back inside at the 20. Puts on the Jets. Gets away. 5. Touchdown. Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn native, goes all the way.
Yeah, it started great, and then it went a little sideways for a few minutes, and then it got really good and then great again, and that's where it ended and really kind of coasted through most of the, I'd say, last quarter and a half for the Buffalo Bills yesterday against the Denver Broncos. Good Monday morning to you. It is a Buffalo football playoff victory Monday Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by and presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Also brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And of course, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm your host, Sal Capaccio. Glad to be with you today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, on a Buffalo Bills playoff victory football Monday. Yeah, there's a lot of words there. I don't care. I'll keep saying them because it feels good to talk to you after a victory in the fifth straight season in which the Buffalo Bills will advance to the AFC divisional round. Five straight AFC East championships, all 5 years, not getting the bye week. So they had to play a home game. Let's run through them. Of course, we know in 2020, it was at home against the in 2020, the Indianapolis Colts. Sorry, the Indianapolis Colts in the COVID year. 21 was the perfect game against the Patriots. 22 was the Dolphins, a little too close for comfort. 23 was the Steelers, game that got moved from Sunday to Monday. And then 24 now. Five games at home during this five-year divisional championship run where they didn't get the bye week but got a home game, took care of business, and now advance on to the divisional round. And of course, we know where the season has ended the last several years, getting to the AFC Championship in that first year, but not since. And that's the task at hand next week at home against the Baltimore Ravens. 6:30 p.m. Sunday night. We will have plenty of time to talk about that all week. But today, we really focus on what happened yesterday, where this team is now. If you want to talk about the Ravens game, totally fine. You can do that. That's what we do on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Victory Monday, but any Monday, really. It's a reaction show. We take your phone calls. So let me do that now. In fact, I got to kind of move this computer over here so I can see your calls, who's on my screener. Hold on. Do this while I'm talking in real time. All right. 803-0550 is the number. So 803-0550 is the phone number to call. You can get on the air right now. If you want to call, you're going to get on the air. You're going to get your chance to talk and say what you feel about what happened yesterday at Highmark Stadium. And of course, you don't just have to listen. You can watch. We are on the WGR Facebook page right now. Just go to facebook.com/WGR550. And of course, I'm wearing my Victory Monday t-shirt. Okay? Because that's what it is today. And we celebrate victories. We talk about victories. We talk about what lies ahead. But as I always love to do, and remind you, I've been doing this for years now on this show. And I remember going back to 2020 in the COVID year when they really started to, you know, come on. And Josh was playing at an unbelievable level. And I would say 4 years ago, I'd say, listen, you can never take this for granted. Enjoy these wins. We know what it was like for 17 years not to be in the playoffs. For a lot of us, we know what it was like to be 2-14 in the mid-80s in back-to-back seasons. Yes, they went to 4 Super Bowls, and they've had some other success in the 90s. But none of this can ever be taken for granted. So enjoy it. Enjoy your Victory Monday. Enjoy all the content you can consume today about the game. And then turn your attention towards the Baltimore Ravens. Immediately after yesterday's game, there were a couple people I saw walking out. First thing, next week's going to be different, much harder. I said, I agree. Enjoy this one, though. Don't, you know, to me, you can do however you want. I'm just here to tell you, I think that if you take the approach of let's enjoy it, consume it, and there's going to be plenty of time to kind of be stressed about and worry about and think about what lies ahead, I think that it gets you in a better headspace, okay? It makes you feel a little bit better. We all know what lies ahead on Sunday. We'll talk about that a little bit more, and we'll, of course, get into it a little bit later when we get our look ahead to the next game and however else you want to talk about it. In the meantime, a lot to get to from this game. We started off with some of Chris Brown's calls on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Fantastic call on that hit by Mac Hollins. And, of course, we wrapped it up there in the open with Kyle Williams returning to Orchard Park, to Highmark Stadium, and getting the crowd going, getting the crowd revved up. Oh, that was a fantastic, where else would you rather be opening hype? It was a fantastic flyover by the fighter jets, national anthem, and then it was not fantastic how this game started for the Buffalo Bills. They, of course, after winning the toss, deferred. I like when they do that. Even when they take the ball, and I know the weather might be changing, but, you know, start off on defense. You might have a chance to double dip at the end of the half and control what happens at the end of the half and then have your chance to score. The key is, though, if you're going to do that, you got to stop. You got to stop the team that you're facing when you're on defense to begin the game. And they did not do that. Credit to the Denver Broncos for a really nice, well-designed opening script game plan. Also, maybe a little bit of miscommunication, busted coverage, whatever, by the Bills, but credit the Broncos. They convert a long third down early on. And then, right after that, it's over the top to Troy Franklin for a touchdown. You can't let that happen. 3rd and 8, and then a 43-yard scoring pass 2 plays later. It is 7-0 in the blink of an eye. And I think, like a lot of you, I try to think about what it was like for you watching the game in your perspective. I'm down on the sidelines trying to pay attention to what's going on the field, what's going on the sidelines, injuries, things like that. Sometimes I think about, oh, what's the reaction going on social media? What's the reaction going on with the fans watching at home after that? Then I think about today, what was it like for you watching that? Did you think, oh my God, this is it? We're really going to end this season here like this against this team? Or did you have faith and say, you know what? It's okay. We got Josh Allen. Because nobody knew what Josh Allen and the offense could do against that defense. And let me tell you, folks, okay, that is a good defense. That is not, and especially a really good front with a shutdown corner behind them. I know that they've played some lesser teams where they've kind of, you know, I guess fattened up the stats a little bit. I even hate saying that because I will tell you, talking with Bills players and coaches this week, they were to be very, very you know, respected. But the Bills did a really good job on offense. Close to 500 yards of offense for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And it really kind of started with the first drive, although they did not finish off the first drive with points, with a touchdown. Excuse me, you'd love to see that. They finished it with a field goal, some struggles in the red zone, but 12 plays, 59 yards. They went down the field. You saw, okay, they're going to be able to run the ball a little bit. Josh is doing his thing. You get down to the Denver 8-yard line, you kick a field goal, it's 7-3. But I think from that first drive, I thought, all right, I think they'll be okay on offense. They're just not going to have to, they can't let what happened on defense happen again. And sure enough, they didn't. Let me give you the drives. After the Broncos' first drive, okay? Here's what they did after that. First drive, 70 yards and a touchdown. Then five yards total in a punt, 31 yards in a punt. That was actually the fake punt drive, 55 yards and a missed field goal, 5 yards, 4 yards. They had three drives of 5 yards or less on those drives out of the next five drives. So three out of the next five drives went 5 yards or less. I did the math on a couple things here. Let me just tell you how dominant the Bills kind of were overall statistically in this game. This speaks to the defense, but also the offense, obviously. So for the defense, the Broncos had 70 yards of offense on the first drive. Into the fourth quarter, they had a total of 170. So that means over the next 2+ quarters, almost 3 quarters of play, the Bills held the Broncos to 100 total yards. You could say maybe the first drive, the first play, that call over the top, fluke, busted coverage, whatever. It happened. That all counts. For whatever reason, though, it happened. The Bills did a great job after that, making sure it didn't happen again, and they clamped down. Also, I tweeted this out yesterday. Pretty remarkable, actually, when you think about it. So I looked and saw, okay, the Bills had a total of, I'll get the numbers here exactly. Here you go. Bills had a total of 471 yards of total offense. The Broncos had 224 yards of total offense. So I'm thinking last night, boy, close to 500 yards and you only allow 224? I mean, in a playoff game, that's pretty darn good. So I went to Pro Football Reference and Stathead. You can plug in the cues and the queries and all that. And I put those numbers in. When's the last time and how many times has a team had at least 471 and held another team to 224 or less in a playoff game? Three times ever in the Super Bowl era before yesterday. And the last time, 23 years ago, when the Giants played the Vikings. It happened in 1976, 2000, and 2001. That's it. And that's how you get your way to a 31-7 win. A lot that went right for the Bills, some that went wrong, including, of course, the fake punt. You can't let that happen. That's on coaching. That's on Matthew Smiley. That's on Jamarcus Ingram. You can't let that happen. Good call by the Broncos, but you had to know. I said right here all week. Special teams, they were going to do something. Josh, am I wrong? Did I say to you that they're going to do something on special teams? You're talking about a Super Bowl winning coach who opened up the second half of a Super Bowl with a surprise onside kick. He's now a nine-point underdog coming into Buffalo. And they did it. You got to be more aware of that. Okay, no doubt. That's on special teams, all of that. Other than that, special teams was chef's kiss. Great. Matt Collins, you heard the call from Chris Brown, the hit, to really, you know, stop Marvin Mims, both literally and figuratively. This guy, outside of the fake punt catch, he touched the ball 4 times for -3 yards. They gave it to him twice on offense. Punt return, catches, whatever. Then you had Tyler Bass, 5 for 5 on kicks, and his kickoffs were terrific. Well-placed, didn't allow them to get an opportunity and even hit one at the 1-yard line, went through the end zone, which means they get it at the 20 instead of the 30. Perfect right there. And Reed Ferguson even drew a penalty after the hit by Holland. So that was great. And then one final thing on the defense. I hope we can put to rest for anybody out there that Dorian Williams should be playing over Matt Milano at this point. I think Matt Milano showed why, and the Bills showed why Matt Milano should be playing. I thought Matt Milano was the best defender on the field for the Bills yesterday. Now, they only had 42 snaps, the Broncos. And the leading tackler was Terrell Bernard with only 6 because of that. Milano only had 5. Milano was used as a spy, did a great job on Nix. He mirrored him. He got him for a sack at the sidelines where I think Mix was even like, holy cow, I can't believe this guy's here now. And he was really good in the run game. Now, maybe next week you see Dorian Williams as a third linebacker, but I think we could at least put to rest any notion that Dorian Williams should be playing and starting and playing will linebacker over Matt Milano. I heard too much of that the last couple of weeks. A lot of that, I should say, the last couple of weeks, but not the case. I think he showed yesterday. And we all know what Josh did, and we could talk about that with the offense. Let's get right out to the phone lines. Now, though, I've talked enough. It's time for you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's start us off with Clover in Texas. Hi, Clover.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How
you got
are you doing?
It. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I really appreciate your work and just that information you said about like the differential between the Bills yards and the Denver Broncos yards. It really kind of puts things in perspective, like how dominant we were. You can kind of look at like, okay, well, it's a 7th seed, but they're a great team, and they made the playoffs, and that was a really great job. I was really impressed with the defense. Like you said, Dorian Williams was getting, there was a lot of calls for him to play, and I agree with you. Matt Milano was the best player on the defense, and I heard you, Jeremy Joe, this morning talking about the speed, how he got to Bo Nix, and how he was surprised.
I think he was.
So I saw that he was kind of acting like a spy the whole time, so not to get ahead, but, do you think that that's going to be his role next week?
Yeah, I do. I think that they could do that. I think they've done that before. I'm not sure what Milano. I know they've used Dorian Williams as a spy as well, so maybe you see a 3-linebacker set, and Dorian is kind of more of a spy, but then you got to take Taron Johnson off the field. I'm fascinated, Clover, on what they could do next week. I would not doubt it, though. In certain situations, they do that with Matt Milano.
Yeah, I agree. Just the way he looked yesterday and defense overall, I'm excited. I think we have a really good chance next week, especially since he wasn't on the field the last time they played. So, I think we're in a good spot for next week. But definitely, enjoying this victory. Playoff win is can't take it for granted, like you say. And, again, appreciate all your work. It's great information.
You got it, Clover. Yeah, and enjoy this week. It's going to be fun. I appreciate you bringing that up because – we're going to talk a lot about that, how they're going to defend, a great Ravens offense with both Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Billy in Toronto is next. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, bud.
Great win. I actually thought I thought it was going to be a little bit closer than that. I think we won quite comfortably. There was a certain house in Toronto that was nervous when they went down and scored that first touchdown. But, the Bills won it quite comfortably. As a matter of fact, the whole playoffs, I thought the games were a lot of games that I thought would be a lot closer, and they weren't. But anyway, listen, this is the only concern I have next year. I'm not going to say about the game. You can talk about that in the fans. It was a great win. But the one thing I worry about, and we had this conversation before, is that I'm not a Lamar Jackson guy. But let's put that aside. The one thing I noticed with Baltimore, and the same thing I used to tell you with Patrick Mahomes, be careful with his tricky stuff. With Baltimore, it seems the only time the quarterback runs with the ball is when it's third down. If it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, it's the fake handoff and he's gone.
You mean on designed runs, right? You mean on designed runs. Sometimes on scrambles he will, but you mean on designed runs, I think, right?
Yeah. Scrambles, you never want to get him in a scramble.
Yeah, sure.
But I just noticed that their first priority is to hand the ball off.
Sure.
Hopefully we can keep them in 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. Because if it's 3rd or 2 and 3, 3rd, 2 or 3, just go on film. It's a fake handoff, and he's running with it every single time. So hopefully we read this, and if we can keep him in passing positions, I have no doubt in my mind that it's on to Kansas City, and maybe even we get lucky and Texas surprises the whole world. So I'll just leave it at that, Sal.
Yeah, you got it, Billy. Thanks a lot for the call. I think the Bills use Josh in a similar fashion, not as often maybe, but it's generally on third downs when you need that money play. They did it yesterday, fake. Josh had a great fake to Ty Johnson, converted a third down. But, yeah, you don't want those guys taking all those hits. You don't want to do it a lot, first and second down, but it is the playoffs. You know, and obviously, no matter who you're playing, I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, if a team can make the other team one-dimensional, you have a better shot. Just put them in the pocket and make them throw because it's just less of a threat to run. And yes, these guys are great as passers. Like even Josh, a team would rather just say, hey, we've got to make them one-dimensional. You know, don't let them run the ball. Because when a team like the Bills even, with a great quarterback like Josh Allen, even if they can't run the ball, you know, the defense is like, okay, then we can obviously you know, flood zones and things like that with defenders, and it's going to be very tough for you. So, of course, the Bills want to do that to Lamar or anybody else. Let's go to Bill on a cell. Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'm sorry. Actually, this is Phil. I'm sorry.
Phil, no, it's okay. Hey, no big deal. We got you, though, Phil. Go ahead.
Well, first and foremost, Sal, I've been waiting to call and talk to you for some time because I usually get to work by 10:30, and I always want to go ahead and just compliment you on your show, and I keep up with everything you do on YouTube and everything else, and I love everything you do for the Buffalo Bills, and happy Victory Monday, and it definitely was a great day yesterday, and I called on the previous show, you know, and I even called last night, too, because I can tell you, you know, I mean, yesterday was a great day, and I believe that clock management, running the clock, using the running game was so efficient, and it was beautiful. Defense really stepped up yesterday. You know, the concerns always are falling into the whole special teams things, you know, mm-hmm. like you were speaking up on earlier. But one thing I brought up on the last show, and I literally pulled it up. I guess what I'm excited about next week, Sal, is that the last time we played Baltimore was in a playoff was at, you know, the 17-3, Taron Johnson, you know, interception. But I remember Lamar Jackson actually talking, and my aunt was at the game. He actually talked after that game talking about how he couldn't hear the field, and that was the game where there was only 6,000 fans in the stand. So I'm looking forward to the energy that is about to blow up for this game this weekend, and I feel really confident on that end. Now, they did say on the radio earlier that, you know, they are a different team. Lamar Jackson is a different player, and they're a different quarterback, and there is no doubt about that. But we are a different team, too, and I couldn't be more excited. And, you know, like I said, I love your show, and I thank you for everything you do. Shout out to the Standard at Roswell down here in Atlanta. You know, that's our Bills backers bar, one of them. And like I said, happy Victory Monday, and go Bills, and thank you for everything.
Hey, Bill, thanks for the kind words. I hope you get to work on time today, buddy. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Yeah, you got it. All right, Bill. Thanks for the kind words. Bill brought up the YouTube channel. Yeah, we got a lot going on there. It's always game day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove. We recorded last night. You're going to get a lot more content coming your way. You got to go to the Sal Sports YouTube page. So it's at Sal Sports on all social media. But at the YouTube page, we got all the podcasts going on, all different kinds of content. Check it out. Matt Bove and I recorded last night right after the game. So it's an instant reaction type of podcast. We got that going on at Sal Sports. He brought up a time of possession. I am not a big time of possession stat guy, okay? I don't think there's generally a correlation between time of possession and winning football games. Scoring matters, not how long you possess the ball. You can possess the ball for 5 minutes on a drive, and if you punt, it doesn't matter. If you possess the ball for 2 minutes and score, it matters, especially in today's NFL. However, in this game, time of possession told a story. Time of possession for the Bills, 41 minutes, almost 42. 18 minutes and change for the Broncos. That told a story. The story was the Bills controlled the game. They controlled the game. Remember a few weeks ago, the Bills, obviously, I'm sure you do, they go to Detroit. They are winning pretty handily, and then Detroit comes back, and they're scoring, and the Bills are giving up yards. At the end of the day, over 400 yards, passing, offense, whatever. And I came on the radio and said, I felt the Bills controlled the game. See, that's what it's about. The word control matters. You can have a lot of yards. And things can, you can give up a few plays, but it's really who's controlling the game and dictating the terms. In this game, the Bills completely dictated the terms the whole game. In that game against Detroit, things got away from them a little bit late, no doubt, and it shouldn't have been that close. But the Bills dictated the terms the whole game to get them to that spot, which is why I felt the defense played pretty well that day, despite all the yardage they gave up. In this game, the Bills just dictated the terms really from the opening offensive drive throughout the rest of the game, and especially in the second half on both sides of the ball. The Bills had over 200 yards rushing, most they've had in a playoff game since 1995.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
People like my producer Josh probably do not know the name Tim Tyndale. Do you know Tim Tyndale? See? Go look him up. 1995, Buffalo Bills. Thurman Thomas, Tim Tyndale, and Derek Holmes combined over 200 yards rushing for the Bills in that game against the Miami Dolphins. Mike in Tonawanda. What's up, Mike? Mike in Toronto. Big difference probably between Tonawanda and Toronto, but they both start with a T. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just a little, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
My 12-year-old and I were there all weekend last weekend. We had an absolutely great time at a great game with beautiful weather, and we can't wait to come back next weekend. But I just want to say thank you to all the Buffalo fans that make us feel so welcome all the time. We got to go to, you know, an awesome Bandits Rock game last weekend. We got to do the kids game at the Sabres. We're going back next weekend. They're hosting Sidney Crosby and the Penguins, and then the undefeated NLL champion Bandits are hosting Philadelphia. We're going to go to all three games next weekend. There's so much good stuff going on right now, and the Buffalo fans are just so incredible every time we come down. We can't say thank you enough.
That's amazing. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. Is that all you got? I just want to make sure because
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like,
yeah, you got it.
Down there all the time and,
are you? Wait, no, you're in Toronto. You root for the Bandits, though, right? Not the Rock?
No, I root for the Rock. But
you do.
Still a great game.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's cool. You like the sport and you like to go, and it's a great atmosphere, isn't it?
I'm a sports fan, and I'm raising a sports fan.
I love
and
it.
Going to other sporting events is how you learn.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate your kind words on that for the people here, and, you know, I'm sure they do as well. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, you got it. All right, let's go out to Dominic in Buffalo. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, Sal. First time, long time, buddy. I'm a Steelers fan that lives in Buffalo, New York, so okay. I feel like I'm behind enemy lines.
Yeah, well, you can give us a good perspective on what's going to happen Sunday, I think, from your perspective.
Yes, I actually went to the Steelers-Baltimore game Saturday night.
Okay.
And first of all, we stunk. But second of all, I always thought Lamar was good. I never thought he was great. I thought he was good. But seeing him in person run is just like Josh has a way. I think Josh has a better arm for sure. But like seeing Lamar run compared to Josh, I mean, Lamar's just an absolute athlete.
He's unbelievable.
But I will say this though, I'm rooting for Buffalo. I want Buffalo to destroy Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I think you guys have the best shot right now in getting to the Super Bowl. I think Houston's going to upset KC, and I think I think you guys are going to get there. I'm rooting for you guys, but just seeing Lamar in person just run and then watch us punt the ball on fourth and a half of an inch.
Man, well, a couple things about that. Number one, Dominic, I agree with you. I've obviously been fortunate enough. I've been on the sidelines for 11 years. People often ask me who some of the more special guys I've watched, and Lamar always comes top of mind because he is truly special. His athleticism is amazing when you're down there on the field and field level watching, and there's just been certain guys that always stick out in your mind. He's one of them. But for you, a question from me. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan from an overall holistic perspective, but I would understand I was upset. I mean, how do you not go for it on fourth down and inches? Where are you with Mike Tomlin right now in your Steelers?
Yeah, so I love the guy, great coach, but I think it's time, man.
Yeah.
I listen to GR, I listen to your show midday, like, all the time. But
yep.
I like listening to the morning show out in Pittsburgh just to see the reaction. I can tell you 90% of the calls are saying he's got to go.
Wow, that's insane.
We need someone new. And having three coaches since I've been alive, Sal, I was born in 1993.
Right.
There's only been two coaches I've seen. So, I think it's time. I think we need someone new, and I think we need to get a new quarterback in there. I think Russell's got to go too.
I think that might happen. Thanks, Dominic. Appreciate your perspective, buddy. Keep listening out here, even though I know you're from Pittsburgh. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Well, maybe not from Pittsburgh, but he's a Steelers fan. But good call there. Good perspective. And yes, Lamar is certainly going to be a challenge. He is sensational. It's going to be Lamar against Josh. The two head-to-head, MVP candidates. MVP has been voted on. It doesn't matter. It's the national game of the week in a week that is called the best week of the NFL season. Next weekend, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. In the meantime, we're going to take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll get you your injury report. We'll talk more about the game on Sunday, but of course, rewind and take a look about what happened yesterday, 31-7. The Bills advance to the AFC Divisional Round. Back after this timeout of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Allen back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33. Cuts it back inside at the 20. Puts on the Jets. Gets away. 5. Touchdown! Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn native, goes all the way.
You know, I've gone all this time and haven't even mentioned. Oh, yeah, a guy named Josh Allen, and I have to because he was sensational in this game. 76%+ passing, 20 of 26. He threw for a total of, 200, and I got all the numbers here, 272 yards. He also ran for 46 yards, over 300 yards of total offense for Josh Allen, 2 touchdown passes. No turnovers. He was sacked a couple times. He was sensational, and he, of course, had that incredible play to Ty Johnson. What a player Ty Johnson has turned out to be for the Bills here in his second season with the team. All right, we can get into all that, but you got a lot of things to say. A lot of people calling up, and we are taking your calls. 803-0550, 716-803-0550 here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Mike in Lancaster's up next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, bud. Thanks.
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to congratulate the Buffalo Bills for the great playing and a great win yesterday. And I feel our defense is definitely back. If we play the Baltimore Ravens, what would you think the biggest threat to Buffalo is with playing them
next Sunday?
Yeah,
I think it's Derrick Henry running the ball, right? I mean, like, I'm respecting Lamar Jackson, of course. He might win the MVP. He certainly has an argument for it. Whether you want Josh Allen or not, you can't objectively say that Lamar Jackson doesn't certainly have a case for MVP. He's amazing at what he does. However, I do think they lean on more of Derrick Henry. If you shut him down, you have more of a chance to win. if you shut down Lamar Jackson, I think Derrick Henry can still beat you. Now, Lamar can still beat you if you shut down Derrick Henry, but I think it's more challenging for the Ravens. And on top of that, of course, the Bills have had troubles against teams that run the ball very well, especially bigger physical running backs like Derrick Henry. We saw what he did when they played the first time, and that's because the Bills are structured, as I've explained before, to stop you from throwing more than stop you from running. And you can't have it both ways. I know you'd love it. You'd love all pros at every position, a great run defense, a great pass defense, and you could be really good in both. But the Bills' philosophy is we're not going to get beat deep. They did once on Sunday, no doubt. That happened. And we're going to make you grind it, run the ball, and then clamp down. But you got to do it then. You got to stop them in the run game when you have a team like this coming to town. Let's go to Owen in Buffalo. Hi, Owen.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, two questions for you.
Yep.
First, the 4th-and-1 touchdown to Ty Johnson.
Yep.
Obviously not going to complain about it. Do you think that was a design QB run and Josh saw something and checked out of it? I don't see a world where 4th-and-1 down that side of the field, Josh isn't running the ball. And then second question for you, if Codrington is ready to go next week, do you think he plays or do you keep Shakir return to punts? Because Shakir looked great back there.
Okay, let me take the second one first. Okay. If Codrington's ready, you play Codrington. As great as Khalil Shakir looked, Brandon Codrington is still the number 4 ranked punt returner in the NFL, 11 yards of return, and you still don't want to put Khalil in that position where he's taking as many hits as he did last week in the open field. I mean, yes, he did look really good. He was fine at it. But it's not like Brandon Codrington stinks, you know what I mean? Like, he's fine. And if Khalil Shakir is available, he's going to be a really big component of your defense next week because, remember, he got hurt in that Ravens game early on. I thought that, you know, the first time they played, I thought that was a big deal. So I say Brandon Codrington's available. He's got to play. That takes less off Khalil Shakir. And Brandon Codrington is very good at what he does anyway. And at any moment, he could take one to the house. As far as Josh Allen on the fourth down. Okay, so do I think it was a designed run? No, but I will tell you, I thought he should have run. I thought Josh should have run on the play. He seemed like, I'm going to watch the play as I do this with you. So Owen's going to stay on the line with me. I'm going to watch the play. No, he took the snap, immediately dropped back. This looks immediately like a pass play to me. And then as he leaked out, it looked like he's got Curtis Samuel, he's covered. It looked like he had some room. He's got a couple guys chasing him. But if I go back and look at the play, Owen, this is a designed pass all the way.
Absolutely. I mean, I was at the game. I was on that side of the field, and the whole time I'm thinking, he's got to run. And then, you know, he works his Josh Allen magic, got that touchdown, but oof, it was scary.
Yeah, it was, and you would have loved to see either the run get it or just a short pass, but of course, it worked out the way it did. Thanks a lot, Owen. Appreciate your phone call. Michael in Atlanta. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sal, great win and great talking to you. I love listening to you during the game. I love your enthusiasm, man.
Oh, thanks.
It gets me going. Thank you.
Yeah. It's fun to be down there, and especially when it's rolling like that, man.
And you get paid for it, Sal.
Sometimes I pinch myself. Thanks, Mike.
I know, man. It's great. But I do want to say a couple things. I only need about 30 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so I'll make it brief. But during the year, we notice a lot of positive signs. And now to come together right now, I think that was one of their best complete games against a good team. I'm not going to say a great team, but they're a good team. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. And I think it's encouraging to see that they're peaking right now, you know, in the playoffs. Hopefully, they're going to keep getting better in the playoffs, and they're going to continue to win. But it is encouraging. And I think one thing we have to look at is how many players, a lot of people never heard of before, like Mac Hollins and Ty Johnson around the league. Who are these guys? It's what this coaching staff, what McDermott gets out of every player. A lot of teams have a lot of really good players, and they don't get the best out of them. But it seems like even with that next man up mentality, when there were so many starters out during the year on offense, defense, losing guys, next man up, you got to give them so much credit for getting the maximum out of these players. And now you see Curtis Samuel healthy. What a great dimension that adds. I mean, look at that guy in that play. When he's out running some of the guys in the secondary, and now he's healthy, there's another guy said, okay, yeah, we got to worry about Derrick Henry. We do, and we have to worry about Lamar Jackson. Yes, we do. But look at all the guys that Baltimore has to do it.
That's right. No, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm very confident in this offense right now, the way they're playing. I think you make a great point on Samuel, Michael. I mean, believe it or not, he led the team in receiving yesterday with 68 yards, right? I mean, like, if you would tell me Curtis Samuel's going to lead the team in receiving, I might be like, ah, that's not great. But the way they're doing it, 68, 61 for Shakir, 47 for Kincaid, 38 for Knox. It truly is everybody eats. And when you can see Curtis Samuel in the open field, now you know why they brought him in. This is what they brought him in for. And he is healthy. And I really like your point about just a complete game. That's exactly right. This is a very good team with this is very good player development. We talk about that all the time. Chris Brown brings it up. I bring it up. Player development is really good in this organization. And that's why when you come here and they say, we're going to develop you into the best version of yourself, you see players like Mac Hollins, players like Ty Johnson, who people kind of go and shrug it off when you sign guys like that. But they become role players and really key contributors on your team.
Oh, absolutely, man. And again, real quick, Mac Hollins, look at what this guy does. Just phenomenal at key times. So go Bills. Let's get the Ravens.
Yeah, you got it, Michael. The one area where Mac Hollins needs to maybe kind of, you know, not be as energetic and unbelievable is a couple penalties here or there, right? I don't know how I want to say it, right? There were a couple penalties where he's got to be a little more careful. I love the energy. I love the enthusiasm. And the guy was making plays, and he's made some very, very big plays this year. But, you know, stepping over, what is it called, the Allen Iverson step, I think yesterday they called it.
Where
right?
else was he supposed to step? Come on.
I know.
He was going to fall on the guy if he didn't step over him.
I guess so. He was called for it. It's all right. Maybe it's subjective, but just be careful.
Bring back celebrations. Come on.
Yeah, bring back, as long as they don't hurt your team, right? You're right. All right, Steven. Hi, Steven in Virginia. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks.
Yeah, it's kind of picking back off what the last guy said about the receivers. It seems like the Bills have, you know, been in search for, like, you know, their, like, secondary receivers now for, like, the past two or three seasons. Seems like they finally have that good mix. I mean, I know Samuel was hurt earlier on in the season, and seeing that touchdown yesterday reminded me of the touchdown Shakir had against the Jets. I mean, that was awesome. And then with Mac Hollins, I'm assuming the reason why he was struggling earlier on is that he was trying to get used to, how hard, you know, Allen throws the ball to him. My question is, what do you think of the Bills are going to do in the offseason? Do you think they're going to try to re-sign guys like, you know, Cooper and Hollins and, you know, any other, like, good receivers now that they finally have a good group?
Steven, I'm going to say this to you because I say it a lot when people call with stuff like this. This is means no disrespect to you, so I hope you don't take it that way. I do not give one damn right now what they do in the offseason with wide receiver. There is a game next week for the right to go to the AFC Championship. So with all due respect, I'm not going to even think about it right now.
No problem.
You know what I mean? Sorry, I just, it doesn't matter. We'll figure that out later. We'll dissect that later. They're playing right now to go to the AFC Championship next week. I don't care what they're going to do in the offseason at wide receiver. I do care how these guys are playing, and I don't know if it's because he throws the ball hard, but I do think it is an adjustment for any new player to come in with any new quarterback. And let's remember, Josh Allen had one wide receiver on this team that he had played with last year, caught passes, Khalil Shakir. Everybody else was new, so it does take some time. So, like I said, no disrespect to you, but I'm just not going to talk about that right now or think about it.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Jason in West Falls. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I want to talk about one facet of the Joe Brady offense, actually one route that has been very prevalent since week one, which is the wheel route, something that we haven't seen since Mark Broda in the 90s with the Bills offense utilizing Thurman Thomas up the side, up the hash, up the line. And I just think that Joe Brady from week one introducing that is extremely interesting, especially when it's a broken play like the Ty Johnson play that we saw on fourth and one. He was running this wheel route and just faded all the way across the field. And it's worked. It's worked with the tight ends, with some leaks, wheel routes, and it's worked with all the running backs, Davis, Johnson, and Cook. I just want to get your thoughts on how prevalent we might see the wheel route moving forward in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think that's game plan specific. I think it's personnel specific. I love, Jason, that you brought that up with Thurman. Like, he was really good at it. They used it quite a bit. You're right about that. When you have a pass-catching running back, okay, if obviously you want to get him the ball in space sometimes, but especially when you can match him up against a linebacker, because that's a tough, tough matchup on that type of route for a linebacker. We've seen it with James Cook. You go back to the days of Thurman Thomas, that's right. We saw it with Ty Johnson in Detroit. That is a tough route for a linebacker to defend with a running back coming out of the backfield. But the key is you got to protect the quarterback and give him time. And that's partly why the Bills are able to do it, Jason. They have a very good pass protection offensive line. Do not discount that part of it. But yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know how much more prevalent it will be, as you say, but it's certainly something in their arsenal that I love seeing as well. John in Detroit, before we hit the timeout. What's up, John?
Yeah, Sal, real quickly. Number one, I'm just passing through Cleveland. I'm feeling sorry making a sign of the cross for the Browns fans again. We're very lucky now to be 9-0 for my trips back to Detroit. I hope we hit double digits next week. Two, we got beat on another fake punt.
Yep.
I think that we had one a couple weeks ago. Do we have any trick plays that we're going to see, or do we not need them? If Josh just puts the cape on.
Well, I would say this, John. Do you remember what happened in Baltimore? They ran a trick play, and it was just a disaster, and then Josh got hurt on that same play, and there was a turnover. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I would say they would love to and wanted to maybe run a few of them, but maybe after that you get a little bit spooked and you say, let's not do that. We don't need to. We can stay on schedule. So, I mean, every once in a while, I think they're really cool to break out, but maybe that just kind of scared them and said, let's not do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, understood. And
yeah.
For Matt in Toronto, just hey, when the World Cup comes in 2026, make sure he gets him and his son tickets.
Yeah, you got it. I think son
was a rush in 2018. Yeah. It was first soccer games I ever saw, and it was just unbelievable.
I love that. I love that. Thanks a lot, John. I think son or daughter, either way, whatever kid you got, Matt, everybody up there. That should be fun as well. All right. I'm seeing now N'Kobe Dean is going to be out for the rest of the playoffs from the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a pretty big blow for him. Torres patella tendon, I think is what they wrote here. Suffered a torn patellar tendon in his knee, is out for the playoffs. N'Kobe Dean. So that was a tough blow for him. We'll get to what happened in the NFL as we go on here around the weekend. We do have time for your phone calls as we move on here, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 716-803-0550. Glad to be along with you. Great to be along with you on a Buffalo football victory, playoff, victory, football, Buffalo, football, victory, playoff, Monday.
Back to pass, has time, rolling out to his right, going to take off and run for the first down. Milano's got him by the leg and forces him out of bounds. There's the Matt Milano we know.
I mean, I could pick a few of them. Maybe the soundbite of the, I should have asked you to play it, but I'll just read the quote. So we have it. Deion Dawkins in the locker room yesterday. I don't know if you have the actual quote at hand about James Cook. I said to him, so I asked Deion Dawkins after the game, hey, James Cook showed power and elusiveness. We know how elusive he is, but he also showed power. Like, what can you say about him being able to have that multifaceted aspect of his game? Deion's response was, well, his name is Cook, right? He's a chef, right? He got to be able to cook chicken parm, and he got to be able to make mac and cheese. He's the cooker. That's what he said. He's the cooker. Then he said, he's a chef, right? He's got to be able to cook chicken parm and make mac and cheese.
So what type of runs a chicken parm and what type of runs a mac and cheese?
That's a good question. I should have followed up. I'm guessing.
Are there plays called mac and cheese and chicken parm? That's amazing.
I mean, if Josh Allen, if I go back and listen to the call and the broadcast, I'll go watch the broadcast, and sometimes, you know, the mic picks up Josh Allen because the crowd is not loud when they're on the field. If I hear Josh go, mac and cheese, oh, there it is. Chicken parm.
Yeah, the audibles.
I know, right?
Different types of food.
But I know it's a run to James Cook, though. That's the only issue, right? All right, we'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Great to be with you on a Buffalo football victory Monday. It is a playoff victory Monday after the Bills dominate the Denver Broncos 31-7. We'll talk more about that. We'll get to our Barnes Firm injury report. We'll get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and our look ahead to next week, all in the next hour here on WGR.